This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We are underway with the back-to-school series, talking to superintendents around Douglas County this week and next as the school year has begun for most, although not everybody, a few districts starting after Labor Day, but most have already begun, as has the Winston-Dillard School District. Kimberly Kellison, first time on the radio, brand new to the district. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess, first of all, get real close to the mic there and talk about your background in education, things you've done before you got here.
Yes, I started in education in 1990. I was licensed as a social studies teacher and graduated from Oregon State University. And I had a minor in U.S. history. So my first teaching job was at a small district, McKenzie School District in Blue River, Oregon. And that's actually where I graduated from. And so I taught social studies there for a while, and then Measure 5 passed, and I lost my position there, which was really devastating for me because I loved teaching so much, and had a tough time finding a job because of how the market was then. And so I went into business for myself for about 15 years. So I was actually out of education for a while, and I ran my own real estate business and contracting, did some general contracting. And then I went back into education in 2009 and did my master's degree at the University of Oregon, and went into back into teaching and wanted to, you know, make a difference with kids again. And then in about 2015, I had finished my administration license, and I took a vice principal position at Jervis High School. And that was when I started my administration career. And I've been an administrator in secondary buildings and the district level for about 8 years now.
Wow. Of all the pathways I've heard, I've never heard one quite like that.
Yeah.
That's unique. When did you know you wanted to be in education?
I always wanted to be an educator. My brother, I helped him when he was in school, and he had a different way of learning. It was very tactile and very mechanical. And so I did a lot of work with him when we were at home, and that really inspired me to be a teacher so that, you know, I could learn how to reach all types of students. And so he inspired me to be a teacher. And so I've wanted to do that my whole life, basically.
So how long have you been on the job at Winston-Dillard?
I started in the spring. I did some transition work with staff and bargaining units. And then in June, Kevin Miller retired, and I took his position in early June.
So what led to you applying for this position?
I think I'm uniquely qualified to be a superintendent. I have business experience, which is actually really beneficial in my position. And there is a sincere shortage of great superintendents in the nation. And so I think someone that's qualified to do that position should try it. And so that was why I applied.
And why Winston-Dillard?
My family is from Douglas County. My dad was born and raised in Elkton and graduated from Elkton High School. And so I've always had a great love for this area. And so kind of returning back to my roots, and it's been really great.
So you've spent some time here over the years.
Yeah, when I was a child, I was here all the time. We'd go fishing on the Umpqua. And my grandparents lived here. My grandfather owned a logging company out of Scottsburg.
So talk about your priorities for your first year at Winston-Dillard.
Yeah, so we have several goals. I've been working with our admin team, and that's been a really great process this summer. And I actually brought you a sheet so that you could have it for reference. But we're crafting a communication plan for the district, which is an engagement plan to engage our stakeholders and really start reaching out to our community members. So that is one of my major goals. We also are working on social and emotional learning for students in the district with some programs like Character Strong and different things that help students with their mental health and social and emotional learning challenges. And then we also are working on early literacy, and there's just a lot going on, long-range facility planning and a good safety analysis for the district. We want to make sure that we're, you know, really tuned into safety concerns right now.
Well, and that's a big topic, and it's come up in a lot of interviews the last few years. School districts have created new positions, added things that weren't there before. As you look at the buildings around the district, some are newer, some are very older. What are some of the things you think about in terms of at some point up the road wanting to address, even in terms of flow of people in and out of a building and things like that?
Yeah, you have to really be mindful of all those different facets of a building. We do have a great variance of age in our buildings. So, you know, we have an almost brand new high school that has, you know, state-of-the-art locks and different security settings. And then we've got some really older buildings in the district. We do have a lot of ongoing construction right now. We're building a new district office, a couple different band rooms and different things across the district. So we are looking at all of those safety features. From fencing to, you know, key card access for staff, and just really heightening those processes and making sure we're working with our partners on those.
And some of those things, though, really have high dollar cost points. You look at an idea, say this is ideal, but where do you find the funding? Do you have any idea if maybe from the state and federal level there's going to be some kind of an initiative to address these issues?
Yeah, I did hear at the federal level they were talking about doing some safety and security funding for school districts, and I hope that that is going to be finalized and in the works, because these are really expensive, long-term types of capital improvement projects that usually require a bond. I will say that Winston-Dillard's community has been really supportive in the past. And have passed two bonds for us in the recent future or recent past, and so we're excited about that community support. But you know, there are other ways to fund those as well.
As you get started, what are your thoughts about the current staff in the district?
Oh, we have such a great staff. I'm so excited about them. They've been so welcoming, and just a lot of experience, and you know, just really energetic and excited about the school year.
And do you have any new kind of key hires going into this fall as well?
Yeah, we did hire a couple of new administrators. We hired an AD-VP combo at the high school and same at the middle school. And we did that for a variety of reasons. And, you know, promoting athletics and activities for students helps them graduate at a greater rate. And we also wanted to provide more mental health, behavioral, and social emotional supports for students. And so we thought those two positions would be key in doing that. We've hired extra counselors over the past few years with SIA and ESSER funds. And so we did also hire a counselor mentor to work with our counselors and make sure that they're giving students the best support possible.
And do you feel like the mental health is going to be a bigger topic, a bigger issue coming out of the pandemic?
Yeah, I feel like mental health is going to be a challenge for districts across the nation for quite a while. And finding ways to support kids and make sure they feel like they have those wraparound services that they need. We're creating a youth services team in Winston-Dillard to try and work on some of those supports for kids.
What kinds of things have you observed in the last couple of years with young people going from all at once out of left field, all virtual education, which by most everybody's admission at the front end had a lot of glitches, to making improvements there and slowly shifting back to in-person?
Yeah, Winston-Dillard students were in-person more than other students in the state, so we were back into the classroom faster than some other districts. So our students didn't have as much lag time, but I do think the pandemic has been difficult on students, and I think it's heightened their anxiety, and I think that, you know, we just have a lot of things to work through as we help support students.
All right, going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4 on tomorrow's program. Superintendent Jared Corden of the Roseburg Public Schools Kimberly Kellison in with us now, new superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District. So yesterday was, for some students, the first day of the year. How'd that go?
Oh, it was so great to see kids come into the buildings. They were greeted by staff, and they seemed really excited. Some were anxious, but it was a great first day of school.
Now, every district has a little bit different way of doing it. Did you kind of feather them in, or did everybody all start at the same day?
We feathered ours in a little bit. So, you know, in some buildings, like at the middle school, we started sixth grade by themselves so that they have a chance to adjust. That's a huge adjustment for us, especially since we just moved sixth grade into the middle school. So they were in a different building last year. And so we brought those kids in just on that day by themselves. Yeah.
So how's enrollment looking this year compared to last year?
Our enrollment, I have administrators getting a head count for me. It looks really solid. It looks at least as good as last year, or maybe a little higher. Of course, you have students that have transferred out that you haven't got a records request for, and so we wait for those to trickle in. So usually October, we have a better idea of what our head count is, but it looks good.
Are you concerned? We've heard around the nation that a certain percentage of kids just kind of checked out during the pandemic, and nobody seems to quite know where they went, not even, you know, to private or online schools.
Yeah, ODE is very concerned about that. They have talked about, you know, about 20,000 kids have disappeared out of the system, and they haven't technically disappeared, but they are not accessing public education. And so, you know, we're really mindful about that. We're reaching out to families that, you know, if we have a student that we haven't had contact with for a while, we are reaching out to those folks to see how things are going.
Now, Winston-Dillard operates on the 4-day school week, right?
Yeah, we love that.
And a lot of districts, the smaller ones around here, do that as well. What's your take on that? Is this kind of a new thing for you?
We've been on a 4-day week for a long time. It is a new thing for me. Our staff really loves the 4-day week. It gives them time to, do appointments and other things on Friday. We do have dedicated Fridays where we come in to do professional development or planning or, you know, different educational things that don't include kids for our staff. And that's really great to have that dedicated time to do that. I think the 4-day week is a great selling feature for new employees, and the workday is a little bit longer, but teachers work long hours anyway.
Well, and for rural districts, it kind of simplifies things with Friday athletics, because you're not missing class to, you know, head halfway across the state and things like that. But is there a downside for, like, the younger students who, you know, might be six and have a day that's longer than it would be if they were in a 5-day a week district?
Yeah, I could see how it would be harder if you were in kindergarten or first grade, that longer day. I can see that. Yeah. And then not having contact with a teacher on Friday. You know, we are a safe haven for kids. You know, kids love coming to school. And so that probably is hard on some of our kids.
Now, Winston-Dillard's done it for so long, people there probably have got their own personal life worked out. But even the challenges for working parents, that one day a week you've got to figure out something, especially for younger kids.
Yeah, we did a survey of parents, and they were resoundingly positive about the 4-day week. So those survey results really drove what was done in the district. But that was prior to my superintendency, so I don't have every detail about that. But
now, school districts have school boards. How do you look at the role of your board?
I look at the role of the board as they should be a 6-person team with the superintendent. So I have 5 people on my board. And I really think that building that bond and understanding what each one of us brings to the table, but that our focus is on always what's best for kids, I think that that's really essential. And just having that really open communication with the board. I send a Friday, or I actually send it on Thursday because we're on a 4-day week, Friday report to my board each week about the challenges I've been working on or the projects I've been working on. And I think just having that open line of communication is important.
Now, being brand new, maybe you're experiencing this in a different way, but around the country you hear about staff shortages in everything, but what about in education?
Yeah, we are seeing teacher shortages across the board. We're having to be really creative about helping staff members get the education they need. So we actually have a program at Winston-Dillard where we help, other staff members get extra education if they need it to become certified. So we have a program for that, which is really great. It pays tuition and helps staff in this type of emergency situation we've been in. TSPC did lighten up regulations during COVID, but those are going to go back to the norm. And so, we're working through just making sure everyone has the education they need to be certified.
With some of the changes in the last few years to address the shortages, do you see, how do you feel like that worked out? Some people found people teaching that ultimately ended up not making it in that. And the question is, should we have figured that out before we actually got them into these roles? It seemed like a lot of districts were pretty desperate. And if a person seemed to have a lot of the criteria, they would try. But if they didn't come from some of the more traditional educational backgrounds, it didn't always turn out to be a good fit.
Yeah, it is complicated. We do have a new teacher mentor program in the district, which assigns each new licensed teacher with a building mentor, and they're part of a mentor program, and they've been taking a lot of training this summer to help them, hone their skills. And so I think really supporting those employees and, if it's not a good fit, helping them find what is a good fit.
Now, you mentioned sports in the front end. How do you look at the role of sports and also arts, music, things like that, about the importance level to those in a district?
Yeah, I think those activities are really important for kids. So when you look at graduation rates in the state of Oregon for students that are involved in like a career and technical education program, those students have a much higher graduation rate than other students. Same for athletes and anyone that's involved in extracurricular activities. So getting our kids up and busy in those activities is important to our graduation rate and to student success overall. So, we do everything we can to make sure kids have access to those programs.
And do you find that, sports are obviously pretty popular in Douglas County. Is there a point where kids are so interested in sports that the other core curriculums kind of get lost a bit?
No, our athletic director does a really great job making sure kids understand the grade requirements and all the work they have to do in the classroom to be able to be eligible on the field or on the court. And so, we're really mindful that they are student athletes, and we try to reinforce, having a well-rounded education is really important as well.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning working on a kind of a communications plan. Talk about maybe a little more about how you plan to interact with parents and with community members in your first year.
Yeah, so I've been really busy since I arrived, meeting with people in different capacities and, like going to the Winston Parks Board and all kinds of different things that are on that level. I've been working with the alumni group on the mural wall placement. And so, there's just been a lot of interaction with the community already, being really present at activities. So, attending games and music events and all those things is really important as a superintendent so that you know what the kids are doing and can celebrate their success when they have it. And I think my communication plan will include some community forums where I do a live Zoom meeting, kind of similar to what we're doing right now, where I get on and I talk about, an educational issue or educational funding or something that is difficult maybe for the layperson to understand, and try and break it down for those folks so that they have a better idea of how schools are funded and what our parameters are. I think it's important to really communicate that information out to your group.
Kimberly Kellison, new superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.